How many had a great 4th of July? Yeah, did you go away? How many drove somewhere outside of the city to go visit family and friends? A few people, okay. How many came and had people visiting you from outside? A few more, okay. So they say it's one of the busier travel days of the year is Wednesday, the day before 4th of July, and people get back in town, some of them today, some yesterday. You guys are here today. How many felt like you just were in a hurry to get here this morning? You rushed and rushed. Some of you woke up late. Come on, anybody at all just feeling like, oh, man, I just got to get to church. I got to get up, and I got to go, go, go. Anybody at all? Two or three people? How many feels like that way during the week? You got to get up early. You got to get the kids to school. You got to get to work. You got to beat that traffic. How many knows what I'm talking about, right? It's pretty stressful, isn't it? Life is stressful, and we live in a highly stressed-filled time. There's a scripture that the Lord Lord showed me several weeks ago that actually Miss Anita read this to me several weeks ago, about a month or so ago, and it just gripped my heart, and the Lord just said, I want you to just remember this one, because this is something that we're gonna need to talk about here as a body of believers. We live in a very stress-filled time. I think we are busier than ever before in life. Americans have more opportunities to fill their schedules with more and more things. And without even thinking about the consequences to our physical health, to our peace of mind, to our, most importantly, even to our spiritual health, I think a lot of times we just flail headlong into this one day to the next, 1 hour to the next, 1 moment to the next, never giving much thought to our choices that we make, and keeping our schedules so packed and our lives so busy and our minds so preoccupied with activities that are neither helpful nor edifying to our lives. Our busy lives are much like texts or emails from people that are quite lengthy. How many ever gets lengthy texts and emails from people? What they could have said in 2-3 words, they say in 2 or 3 volumes. Yeah, and I'm just going to use, I just wrote this, it's just kind of as at random, just to give you an example. Here's a sample text. I didn't get this from anybody. I totally made this up out of my head, but this is typically how a lengthy text or email would go. Hey, just wanted to ask you a quick question before I forget. I need to get my kids to school in a few minutes. Little Johnny has band practice before class, and little Susie is in the Glee Club. You know, Johnny's a good little tuba player. The instrument is twice his size, but they say he'll grow into it. The men in our family have always been a little on the short side. Why, my great-grandfather, you know, the one who served in World War II, his nickname was Pee-wee. He was pretty short, but it served him well at times. He always joked that he never had to dodge any bullets being shot at him in the war. They always went over his head. Speaking of that, have you ever tried to tell a joke to Sally? She never gets a joke. They always go over her head. Anyway, I just wanted to ask you, what are you doing for lunch today? You know? And it's just exhausting when you read things like that and you think, she could have just said, hey, what are you doing for lunch today? But instead she took the scenic route to ask the question. And all you can do when you read a text or an email like that is just say something like, nothing? Or, I don't know, sure. Have lunch with you, I guess. And that's really how life feels, isn't it? When you just are going through life, you just one big long text after another, it seems like. Just one big demanding thing after another. And all we have time or energy to respond is just to say, well, thanks, or maybe just give a little thumbs up emoji, like, you know, like that. Just something, just to move on. And everywhere that I turn in life, I hear people say how exhausted they are. It's like life is coming at them like a fire hose, and all they have to catch it, the water that's coming their way, is a thimble. It doesn't matter their age. It doesn't matter their gender. It doesn't matter if they work a job or if they're at stay-at-home moms, if they're retired or if they're a student. Everyone is weary because everyone is just so busy. And I just wonder, where does this come from? Why do we keep ourselves so busy? And therefore, so exhausted as a result of it. Is it just our human nature just to stay busy all the time, or is there something more sinister, something, maybe some unseen force at work that keeps us going this way? Let me just say right at the very beginning here that busyness isn't God's plan for our lives. In fact, it isn't even His will for our lives. Filling every square inch of our day with activities is highly destructive to our physical, our mental, and our spiritual beings. And today I want us to look at how we can create some downtime that will bring us times of refreshing with Jesus that we so desperately need. So have you ever read in scriptures, if you dig just a little bit deeper into God's word, that these little interesting aha moments, these little aha verses that you come across in God's word, that will reveal some truths that will cause us to stand at attention and say, wait just a minute. I want to show you one that speaks to this busyness that I just described and where it's coming from and what we can do about it. Again, this scripture, Anita just was talking with me about this several weeks ago in the office, and she said, let me read to you a scripture in Daniel. And I thought, okay, let's just see what this says. And there's this chunk of verses in chapter 7 of the book of Daniel that speaks to the Antichrist and to his work in the last days during the tribulation, which, and there's this one verse that sticks out as it relates to what the spirit of Antichrist has in mind for the saints in the last days, which, by the way, I am firmly convinced that we're in the last of the last days before Jesus returns. So with that said, the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist is urgently working his last days activities to try to do all that he can before it's too late for him. He's doing what he can to destroy us. He's doing what he can to thwart the will of God. He's doing what he can to pull out all the stops to get it done on his part, just as the Bible does say in the last days he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Satan knows that, and he's doing what he can to do what he can to stop that. There's this one verse, though, that's found in chapter 7, verse 25, that I want to extract and present to you this morning, and I want you to consider this. It says, "And he," which is the Antichrist, "shall speak great words against the Most High," who is Jesus, and listen to this, "and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Now, it says in some versions, "oppress the saints," but if you look in some other versions, it says that he will wear out the saints. And then they'll also think to change times and laws. Now, we see these things happening. We see the Antichrist coming against and speaking words against Jesus. We see the laws of our land changing right before our eyes. But if you'll take that one part that says that he's also trying to wear out the saints, it makes you just stop and say, now, wait a minute. Satan's plans in the last days, among other things, is to wear you and me out. It's to wear the saints of the Most High out. I want you to think about this for a second. I want to ask you, how's he doing with that? I want to ask you that question. How do you think he's doing with that? I think he's doing pretty good. I think he's being pretty successful in that. Every bright and shiny object of our affection he dangles out there, we tend to grab. Social media. Anybody? I'm in, right? Social media. Every moment that you get that you're not doing something, at a traffic light, I watch it all the time. People pulling out their phones and they're scrolling through the stuff. Every moment, every square moment is filled with sports. How about that? Let's check out on sports. I'm going to, hey, don't mess with my sports, you're saying. I'm not messing with your sports. I'm saying it's messing with you. Because it's filling up your days and your moments with things that you could be spending time with the Lord. Movies and entertainment. Oh, man. I mean, if you're not watching TV, going to movies and all that other sort of thing, then you're not cool, or you know, you're missing out or something. It's just right there. And it used to be that you had to go to the television set at your house. Now you can bring the television set with you on your phones. You know, it used to be you had to see a movie at the house or at the movie theater. Now you got Netflix or other things on your phone. It's just right there with you. Anywhere there's Wi-Fi, you're good to go. And it's just all this stuff, and you think, oh, it's so convenient. Yeah, but it's sinister too. Because it's stealing away from the times that we can spend time with the Lord. What about video games? Young people, And some of you 30-year-old young people, you're still living in your parents' basement, young people, playing video games. Come on. What a robbing away of time. You just go from one thing to the next, to the next. How about texting? I mean, it's just constant. Parties and social clubs, sign me up, everybody. This just doesn't cover everything at all. Those are just kind of just stuff that we do. The list goes on and on. And we lurch from one activity to another without any thought of as if it's good for us or edifying to our spirits. Are those things edifying to your spirits? The jury's still out. I think that it's leaning towards not necessarily, not to the point that it needs to be. And it really doesn't sound like the scripture that says that we're in the world but not of it is something that we're really living out. And in these days, we have to be gentle as lambs but wise as serpents and be very cautious with the things that we allow ourselves to engage in. Because Satan keeps us busy and he wears us out. And folks, we're not even aware that it's him doing it. All we know is that we're tired. And tired people don't have time to grow in their relationship with Jesus. They don't have time to witness for him. They just don't have time to discover even their true purpose in life with him. We skip along the surface of life from one shallow, unproductive thing to another and never take the time to go into the deeper things that Jesus has in store for us because we've completely scheduled him out of our lives. And if this is you, and if you have Jesus in your heart this morning, and I'm not questioning your relationship with Jesus, I'm not questioning your salvation, but I am challenging you that maybe you've never gone really too deep with him. And if you've really not really ever gone too deep with him, then I'm here to tell you, then you've really never lived. Because Jesus is a life that's beyond what you can imagine or even comprehend. It's what they call off the chains. Which means that it's exciting, it's delirious, it's wild. Have you ever seen a dog that was once chained, unchained? A dog that's unchained runs like crazy all over the place, the freedom that is there. So where do we start? How can we experience this life that's beyond what we can imagine? How can we recognize that Satan is one of the things that he's trying to do in your life is to wear you out? How can we confront that and say, wait, just a minute? Well, let's start here with what Peter said in Acts 3:19. And by the way, these are all workings of the Holy Spirit that I'm getting ready to share. And we've been really giving place to the Holy Spirit this summer, and we're going to do the same thing today. And I believe, and I just want to say this, that as Pentecostals, and we come to a church service, we put in a little definition box of what Pentecost and being moved and having a move of the Spirit is all about, and it's speaking in tongues, it's running the aisles, it's shouting praises, it's demonstrative. And again, as I told the worship team, I'm Pentecostal to my bone marrow. I grew up in Pentecost. I get it. I love getting excited about the things of the Lord. But the things, and those are the moves of the Spirit. Those are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But there's also other manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we desperately need, and I think sometimes get pushed off to the side as secondary or unnecessary. We really don't give place to it. I know that Terry was talking forward a few weeks ago as the move of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit came, filled so many people, and so many folks were getting delivered and touched and saved. And I asked Terry afterwards, in fact, put the microphone up to your face at the end of the service. It was kind of like the credits rolling at the end of the movie, where if you leave too soon, you're going to miss those neat little things at the end. So many people had left, but we had the credits at the end of the service. I said, Terry, what did the Lord do in your life? And I thought it was so sweet, because what you said was the Holy Spirit gave me a peace that I hadn't had in years, ever since your husband passed. And I thought, that is so sweet. That is so precious. That is so powerful. When you think about it, the Holy Spirit doesn't just give us those demonstrative, you know, outward, you know, things that are labeled Pentecostal. He gives us peace. He gives us assurance. He gives us joy. He gives us wisdom. He gives us so many things because who the Spirit who the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ lacks nothing. Jesus lacks nothing. He is our all in all. He is the complete one. And he lives in us and he speaks to us and through us and gives us what we need. And in that moment, for that time, you needed God's peace. And it was the Spirit of the Lord that gave you that peace. So as we're talking this morning about that, what do you need the Holy Spirit to manifest in your life this morning? What is it that you're lacking? What is it that you're worried about? Are you full of anxiety? Are you full of stress? Are you just tired? Are you not at peace? Do you need peace? Do you need joy because you're discouraged and depressed? The Holy Spirit is here to give you what you need and then some. It's never just that much. It's never just enough. It's always more. And aren't you thankful for that he never lacks? And what he can do for you, one thing he can do is completely different for you because he knows what you need and it's different than what you need. And that's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit. And all I'm saying is I'm just going to give the Holy Spirit place to do that, and I want you to do the same. There's nothing that I can do and there's nothing that you can do except just to give him place. Acts 3:19, Peter was talking to a group of people that were amazed at this man that just got healed that they knew was not a well man. He was the guy that was at the gate, and finally here comes Peter, and he comes and says, silver and gold have I none. What I don't have, I give to you, but take up your bed and walk. And he just got healed. And people were amazed about that. And so it grabbed their attention, and Peter used it as an opportunity to witness the gospel. And he said, listen, Jesus, you killed him, but you didn't know he was God's son. He rose again. He's here to save you. And he culminates in this verse by saying this, so therefore, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Oh, we believe in that. How many believes that Jesus is the only way to heaven? It's only him that saves us of our sins and we can be back in right relationship with God the Father. Amen? But then he moves on and he says this, once you repent and your sins are wiped out, that times of what? Refreshing may come from the Lord. Times of refreshing. How many needs a time of refreshing from the Lord? How many needs a time of refreshing every day of your life? And so the counter to what Daniel 7:25 says, where Satan's job is to wear you slap out, God says, but wait a minute. If you'll spend time with me, I'm going to refresh you so that you won't get weary in well-doing, so that you won't get worn out. So we take this scripture and we realize that Peter is saying to us today, the Holy Spirit is saying to us today that we need to repent. Well, we know what repent means. Repent means that I was going this way and now I'm going to stop and I'm going to go this way. And we know what that means about repenting from our sins, that we're going the exact opposite. We were heading away from God. We were heading towards those things that the world has to offer. To get weary, to get worn, and now we're going to turn and head towards him where we can get those times of refreshing. When we go to him, I promise you that you'll experience times of refreshing. And I just want to emphasize there's one little letter in there that's important because it doesn't say a time of refreshing. It says times, plural. It means that it's a regular occurrence. Aren't you glad? It's not that he just gives you one little shot at it and say, good, that better last you a while. He says every day, every time you get into my presence, every moment of the day, those times of refreshing are there if you'll just come to me. Repent from that and turn to me. The Lord brings us those times of refreshing over and over and over again as we repent. But repent of what, you said? Pastor, I believe that I'm cleansed of my sins, and I believe you are too. I'm not going to judge your Christianity or your spirituality or salvation today. That's between you and the Lord. And I'm not saying you need to repent of your sins, but what I am encouraging you is to repent not just of your sins, but repent of your busyness. Repent of your messed up priorities. Repent of you grabbing hold of those shiny objects that Satan dangles in front of you that constantly pulls you away from those times of refreshing with Jesus that you so desperately need. These times of refreshing come when we pull aside from our busyness and we give up those things, those activities that make us weary. And we put our hope in the Lord for the strength that we need. to live an intentionally impactful life for God's kingdom. Amen? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 and 30 and 31 puts it this way. It said, even youths grow weary and tired, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord are those that will depend on the Lord. They will grow weary. They will run and not grow weary. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will walk and not faint. I'm going to say that again. Those that put their hope in the Lord. You know, some versions of it you hear this is those that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's a song that we sing in church that says that, right? We know that scripture, and it's been put to music. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not go weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. To hope in the Lord. I like the version that says they put their hope in the Lord. They wait upon the Lord. They put their hope in the Lord. See, if you put your hope in other things, they will disappoint. Those video games, that social media, those activities that you do in your life will not renew your strength. They will not. They will drain you. They won't edify you. They'll make you tired. They'll frustrate you. Oh, that social media stuff. Bragging. You know, they present the best of who they are. You realize that, don't you? It's either they present the best of who they are, or it's all about, hey, I need the attention, and I'm just going through some awful stuff, so everybody just encourage me here today because I need to, you know. It's just awful. It's just the insecurities and the narcissism. It just comes out in spades in so many ways. Either that or they want you to buy something. And, you know, it's social media. I don't know. I'm not slamming it as a whole because I know there's some things in there that some of us enjoy. But it tends to steal away our time. Video games. Guys, gals, I know you do it. Video games, I know you do. I know you do. How many hours a week do you guys do video games? Oh, the young people are pulling their feet back now. They're saying, Pastor, leave my video game alone. I like Fortnite. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. It's awful, you guys. It's just taking your time away from... Think about the time that you could be spending with the Lord or working for the Lord, growing a relationship with Him, doing something for Him, being productive in that way, doing chores at home for crying out loud. I mean, you know, it goes all kind of different ways. But young people with the video games and us older folks, we have our hobbies and activities too, and it just steals us away. It says even the youth grow weary, the young men stumble, but those that wait upon the Lord, those that put their hope in the Lord, they're going to renew their strength. No, none of us in this, I didn't see anybody walking here with a red cape with a giant S on it or Wonder Woman with the bracelets. That's, you know, there's no Wonder Woman or Superman in here today. You know, you may pride yourself in being able to juggle a lot of things at once, and there's a lot of people that can do that. You may thrive on multitasking. Maybe that's just something that you just can't stand in unless you got five things going at once. You may be known as the go-to person. If anyone wants anything done, you've heard this before. If you want to get anything done, ask someone who's busy. But I want to ask you if that's who you are today. If you're busy, 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 I want to ask you, I'm going to step on your toes, how's your spiritual life? How's it going? I mean, honestly, be honest with yourself. Don't get defensive and don't be offended. I'm asking you a question as your pastor. How is your spiritual life? How are you doing in your times of refreshing in His presence? How are you doing to prioritize Him in your life? There's only one sure way that I know to get it, to keep it, and to renew your strength, and that is to place your hope in the Lord, to wait upon the Lord, spend time with Him regularly so that you can be refreshed and renewed. Amen? So here's the world. The world has this pattern, and it's displayed at every turn, everywhere we go. It says to live this way. It says to do these things. It says to be part of this cause, to be part of this adventure, to be part of this activity. It says to go, go, go. It says to do, do, do. It says to run, 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 to live your life to the fullest, to go for the gusto. You only live once, so grab the bull by the horns and go for it. It's exhausting just thinking about it. And folks, while there's an element of truth in that, and I would say as long as it has to do with the Lord, if what we're doing, if we're not going for the gusto with the things of God's kingdom, if it's not Christ-centric focused, then we're just living for ourselves. And we're going to come to the end of our life and look back and realize what a small life we really lived compared to the unchained life, the amazing life that we could have lived in Christ. I don't want anybody to turn back on the back end of their lives and say, I woulda, shoulda, coulda in the Lord. Romans 12:2 warns us about this pattern the world wants you to follow and that many of us have gotten sucked up into. It says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we see this, that the world has this pattern, but then also so does God. God has this template for us to follow. And while it's easier to not do the outward activities the world models for us, it's easier to not do those things that the world models for us. We think, okay, well, I'm not going to do the video games, the social media, and the stuff, Pastor Brian. Okay, I'm just going to be a good person, and I'm going to, you know, the outward stuff, no one's, you know, going to accuse me of not being pursuing the Lord. And so it's easy to kind of give up those things as kind of some sort of pious choice that we make to say, I'm a righteous man, I'm a godly woman, I'm going to serve the Lord. And those outward things we kind of just give up, we put on the shelves. But it's a little more challenging for us to take those things and realize that it's an inward thing. It's the inward stuff that we need to work on. It's harder for us to focus on the inward stuff, that pride, that selfishness, that arrogance, that covetousness, all the things that are inside that most people don't see, although it does manifest itself sometimes if we're not careful outwardly. So the Bible, if we look at Romans 12:2, it says that the correct order of this transformation is never from the outside in. But if we look at the scripture, we realize that it's always from the inside out that the transformation takes place. It starts with our minds being renewed daily in Christ. It's those times of refreshing that we spend with him. It's the only way that we can be renewed in Christ is to spend time with him. And the only way that we can spend time with him is if we make a choice to stop wearying ourselves with the world's offerings, but allow him to regularly refresh us in his presence. So we put aside and we repent from the social media, the video games, the parties, the go, 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 the do, do, do in our lives. And we make time for our beautiful Savior and our friend Jesus Christ. Jesus extends this invitation to you today. The Holy Spirit extends this invitation. Jesus said this in Matthew 11:29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. The yoke that the world has to offer is everything that I just described and then some, to weary us. But he says, I've got a yoke too. And that yoke is gentle. And that yoke will humble your hearts. And that yoke will help you to find rest for your souls. When you think about a yoke, if you're not sure what a yoke is, it's what that great big thing is that you see around an oxen, and they pull it, and they're pulling a plow, and they're plowing the field with this big old yoke. It's a big old thing. And that world, the world's yoke is just that. It's just, it's heavy, it's cumbersome. But his yoke is not that. It's not heavy, it's not cumbersome. It's productive, it's fruitful, it's helpful, it's good. But it helps you to find rest for your souls. The world's yoke is what Satan wants you to put around your neck. He's trying to wear you out with fruitless, futile, busy lives. But Jesus promises a lighter, more refreshing yoke. And it's out of that growing, thriving relationship with him that he leads you down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The still waters, the green pastures, he refreshes and restores our souls. How does that sound? Pretty good, doesn't it? And out of that experience and experiences, those times of refreshing, comes a life that you were really meant to live. A life that has something that God has planned for you. I know the plans I have for you, says in Jeremiah 29:11. Great plans, good plans for you to prosper and succeed. That's when you really live a life to the full. That's when you look back at the end of your life and you see the eternal impact that you've had for God's glory. And that's the life that I'd love to see all of us here at Faith Assembly live out. No more shallow existence. No more busyness. No more allowing Satan to wear you out. Be aware of what's going on right now. Those are not just activities to keep you busy. But I think there's a sinister aspect to this, and I want you to be discerning in the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit identify those things in your life that are wearying you and say, I choose to push it aside and in its place pursue times of refreshing with the Lord. You know what those things are. I'm not talking about quitting work. I'm not talking about not cleaning your house and taking care of your kids and taking care of your lawn and taking care of your bodies. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the busyness in life that has very little fruit, if any fruit, for eternal purposes. Jeremiah 31, verse 25, God is inviting us to his place of refreshing. And he says very plainly, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. I will refresh the weary. Not I might. And I will satisfy the faint. Now, doesn't that sound better than the rat race that you've been on? How about it? Hosea 6:3 says it this way. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, the Lord will appear. And he will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. There's nothing like those times of refreshing. Just like the ground needs those rains to refresh and replenish them, we need that rain of the Holy Spirit in our lives on a regular basis. And I cannot be unbusy for you. Jesus is our model, by the way. I just want to say this, that he had 3 years to do what he needed to do in ministry from the time he was 30 to 33 before he was crucified and died. And you would think that he would be pretty urgent in doing his Father's will and staying busy all the time, preaching, healing, delivering, saving, etc., etc. But you know, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that there's so many times that he pulled away and he spent time with his Father. And it was out of those times that he was able to minister. And it was out of those times that he realized what his Father wanted him to do. He stayed in such close relationship with his Father that the scriptures describe as that it says he only said and did what his Father told him to say and do. And how else would he know that unless he spent time with him? And there was times of refreshing that he experienced. And there's times of refreshing that we can experience just like that with Jesus. Who needs to be refreshed today? Who needs to be refreshed today? Anybody? Yeah? Fathers, we come to the end of this time corporately. We don't come to the end of our time with you. Jesus, as you promised that you would inhabit our praise, I pray that you would help us to take this worship and this time of refreshing and that we would praise you throughout this week, that you would show us those areas of our life that are wearying us. It could be activities, yeah. It could also be positions of our thinking and positions of our emotions that are just sapping the strength out of us. Lord, it could be so many different things, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would show us what those are and that we would, as we give them to you, as we yield those weary things to you, realizing that they're really coming from the enemy of our souls who's trying to wear us out, we refuse from this day on to allow that to happen anymore. And we give you our time. We give you our bodies. We give you our hurts. We give you our past. We give you our emotions. We give you our minds. We give you our relationships. We give you our possessions. We give you our spirits. May you come and refresh every area of our life that needs that spring rain, that summer rain, that fall rain, that refreshing rain on our lives. We need that on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for refreshing us today and for showing us the template, to showing us the example of how you can do that in our daily lives, in our private times with you throughout this week, not just Sunday to Sunday, but every moment of every day. I pray that, I impart that on this congregation. Lord, that you would help us to take this and be so conscious of it. Spirit of the Lord, bring it to the very forefront of our eyes spiritually and help us to see those things that are sapping our strength, that are wearying us, that we would yield those things to you, and then that we would take those times by your grace, that we would enter into your presence and be refreshed in you. Amen. And